Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Top 10 joint dislocations that come into the ER. Dr. Ron Clark on the show. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Morning.
This should be fun.
Yes.
Absolutely.
All right. Brain?
Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Happy hump day. Morning, doctor.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. How about the hip?
Yep. Hip is on the list. Absolutely. You know, hip dislocations come in very commonly into the emergency room. Some usually by trauma, either falling or car accidents, things like that. A lot of times, actually, I take care of hip dislocations from prosthesis. So people have already had a hip replacement that then it slides out, and then we have to put it back in. So, yeah, hip is on the list, and they can be painful, and sometimes they are tough to get back in.
Do you have a hip go out during sex? Somewhat.
Not me personally.
Not you. No, I'm just saying, to get one in. Not you. No, not yet. No.
Yeah, yeah, would somebody tell you that? Would you know?
I would think they'd tell me. Kind of
right. I think I would say that.
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, do it a sex.
Right.
Yep, there's all kinds of ways to get injured, definitely. But yeah, no, hip is on the list, and hips are tough. Sometimes actually I have to get up on the bed to get the hip back in, depending on how far out it's dislocated. Because remember, when joints get dislocated, they can go backwards, they can go forward. So like anterior, posterior. So it can go back, like a hip dislocation can go back into your buttocks, or it can come forward into your pelvis. So depending on which way the trauma was and which way the person fell, sometimes, particularly with prosthesis, the fact that there's metal in there from a previous hip replacement, it can be very difficult to get back in, where I got to literally get up on the bed and like mount the patient to kind of pull straight up. And, you know, there's sedation in there.
I like to see that like doctor that. Report.
Right. Right.
Yep. Mounted yep. The patient.
First you play music.
It almost seems like you're trying to stuff a over-jammed suitcase.
Right, or turkey.
Exactly, trying to get it back into the position. Yeah, and a lot of times we'll use sedation. Sometimes I can muscle joints back in, depending on the location, where I can kind of like, Chaz, if you had like a shoulder dislocation or something, and I can kind of talk you through it. And other times people are either too big or too muscular or are fighting me too much, where I just have to put you down with something called propofol, which basically knocks
propofol.
You out.
The Michael Jackson like joy drug.
Michael Jackson medication, yeah. Yep. So if I gave you propofol and asked you to count down from 100, you might not even make it to 100.
Yeah, you go like 98.
You're out. Yep. I actually, yeah, and we can go through, see if anybody else is calling in with other joints before I disclose some of my joints. But I have a couple stories about sedation in patients as well.
Yeah. Okay. Last time I did that, I counted backwards and I found a white glove.
Emma. Emma in Wallingford.
Good morning.
Hi.
And I'm going to go with fingers.
Fingers.
Absolutely. Fingers is on the list. And fingers are very common. I actually had a finger dislocation in the past, a patient who was actually in police custody, who's was fighting with the police a bit and dislocated his pinky. And when I went in the room, his pinky was literally backwards.
So
it was dislocated, and his nail was pointing down his forearm.
So how do you drink tea?
Completely off. So he's in police custody. He's got two police officers with him. So I know he's in a bit of trouble as well. But I just told him, I said, you got to put your finger back in. And, you know, he wasn't the most pleasant of sorts, but he's okay. You know, it hurts, and put it back in. So for fingers, I usually just grab it and pull it. So you got to do it quick before they tense up on you.
I learned my
and
grandpa don't do that.
Yeah, grab it and pull it.
But don't pull the finger.
Yeah, don't pull the finger. This time I had to pull the finger.
Well,
and you have to just kind of, you know, kind of talk to him for a second, you know, grab onto the joint. And then, you know, I tell people with, particularly my medical students that I work with, that, you know, you just, one person has to be the doctor, one person has to be the patient, and you can't be scared and you can't be timid. You just have to grab the joint, stabilize it, and reduce it back in. So in this case, I grabbed his finger, cranked it back in, you know, and it went right back in. you felt better, but it hurt for a second as I'm doing it. You can't stop like halfway.
No, you're either
going to do it or you're not going to do it, but someone has to be the doc and someone has to be the patient. I'd rather be the doc. So I put it back in, and then after it got back in, and I made sure he could make a fist, and he was happy with that. He
said, "Wow. Punch me right in the face with it.
Exactly. Yeah. And he actually told me that he wanted to stick his finger in my eye because he thought that that would be fair for what I did to him. And the police officer politely suggested I stay away from him. So that's what we did.
Thank you, Emma.
Thank you.
Ow.
Somewhere when I was a kid, it was probably, probably 14 or so. We're riding bicycles over the train trestle in the valley.
Okay.
And there's part of the train trestle where it's just that metal grate.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of like a catwalk.
Yes, yes, yes.
We're riding our bikes, and Mark Fanton's kickstand went down into one of the grates and flipped him over.
Flipped the
bike right over.
Yep.
So he's flying forward.
No.
He puts his hands down out of instinct to protect his face, and his fingers go in the grid, and his body keeps moving forward.
Oh.
He gets up. Every single finger's going in a different direction.
It's like interpretive dance. How do you do that?
Now, Mark Fanton's a big dude. Like, at 12, he was, like, 8 feet tall.
He had a mustache and everything.
And like, he was kind of had that crazy strength. He once did this to a pinball machine and broke the glass.
Oh.
So he gets up, and the moon's hitting him just right. And he just, I thought he was Frankenstein. He starts grabbing his fingers. He's like, ah! Ah! He's like 14, pulling his fingers into place. Ah! Moonlit. I'm like, oh my God!
I'm getting hell out of
Frankenstein.
I'm never gonna mess with this guy ever.
I'm getting out of here now.
Never,
right?
Never, never.
I need a silver bullet, please. Thank you.
Hey, where'd you find the gummy worms?
Oh,
dude, can I have your cheese doodles?
Dr. Ron Clark is on. We're doing top 10 joint dislocations that come into the ER. Fish nibbles.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It happened to me. My sister pulled my arm out of my shoulder. So shoulder dislocation.
Absolutely. Shoulder. The shoulder's a big one. So that's one of the more common ones that I do. And it's common. People either get pulled on with their arm, they fall on an outstretched arm, and the shoulder, just the way the rotator cuff holds the arm onto the side of your body, it's easy to dislocate. Most of the time it's anterior, which means the shoulder comes towards the chest, but sometimes it can be posterior dislocation, like from a car accident or a seizure or electrocution, other things that cause dislocation. So the shoulder is actually my favorite joint to put back in, because usually I can talk you through it.
You have a favorite.
Yeah.
Oh, my favorite.
My favorite. One, because
my mother took directions on how to put it back in.
Oh, my God. I'll tell you an interesting story that I have a partner at work, Dr. McDade, who is an outstanding emergency room doctor. She actually was at a cocktail party where somebody had dislocated his shoulder, and it's a bunch of people there, and they asked for an ER doc, and she was there. And she actually had the person take a belt, tie their wrists together, sit down on the floor with their knee bent, and imagine putting your wrists over your knee and just leaning back. And she said it went right back in.
Right. Remember Mel Gibson?
Like, there's all these little tricks that ER people have. And again, the dislocation is something that generally only emergency room physicians or orthopedic surgeons know how to get back in, because not too many people encounter them. But there are all different tricks, and a lot of times we learn new tricks of how to get them back in easier. But, shoulders on the list. And, again, for me personally, I personally like shoulder dislocations only because I'm good at getting them back in. I usually can get it back in very quickly, and they are very painful, as you know. And when once you get it back in, the person has immediate relief. So it's actually one of the most satisfying parts of my job.
What about cracking a knuckle?
What about Mel Gibson in Lethal Weapon 2? Remember he did his shoulder? When he slammed his shoulder, is that possible?
You can if it's a so he had an anterior dislocation, like in his chest. So in theory, you could whack it back in. The only side effect of that is you don't want to create a fracture dislocation. I would not advocate for the way he put it in the movie.
Right.
I've seen that movie multiple times. I'd rather put the traction on it and kind of grab it and pull down or to reduce it back in. Because, yeah, if you slam your shoulder into the side of a wall, you might break it. And that's a mess. So if you have a fracture dislocation of any joint, it makes it infinitely more difficult for me to get back in because sometimes the fracture piece gets stuck in between the joint and where the bone needs to go.
Yikes.
And that creates a whole bunch of other problems, and then you buy yourself a surgical procedure.
It's called a big boo-boo.
Doc, this should be your next book. So you have Surviving the ER, the emergency room.
Right.
And this is how to, you know, and that book is like to prepare yourself, you know, as an emergency, as you're getting there, this is what to do to have the best outcome. This next book should be like how to do stuff like this.
Yeah. Cool.
You know, if you're hiking and you pull your shoulder out, grab your belt, do this.
Right.
It should be your next book.
Right.
Absolutely.
How to pull your finger, things like that.
Beef man.
Good morning, all.
Hey.
Morning.
Morning.
I hyperextended my elbow, and it was extremely painful. AJ, remember I showed it to you at the Christmas party? It was terrible.
Yes, thank you. It was blue.
Yeah, elbows are on the list, and elbow dislocations can be very, very painful, as you know. It's on the list, and they can be tough sometimes to get back in. I had an MMA fighter, actually, in the past who was sparring with somebody, and during his submission, the guy went a little bit too far and dislocated his elbow. And that guy actually came in with him and felt bad that he dislocated his by their friends, but they're also professional MMA people.
Yeah.
And, it's on the list, and elbows can be tough to get back in to get an alignment once they're out. So a lot of times you need sedation with the propofol to get them back in. But yeah, it's on the list, and they're very painful.
I also noticed I had a lot of strength was less strength.
Yeah,
Big Chris.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Sorry, Beef Man. I got to hang up on you at least once a week.
We dislocated your call.
I love you, Beef. All right, go ahead, Chris.
Good morning. How you guys doing?
Good.
I don't know yet. Go ahead.
So three got gassed out of so far, but I'm thinking the wrist.
Wrist is on the list, too. And you know, wrist is a common one that gets what we call fractured and dislocated. When somebody falls, they break the wrist, and then the bones dislocate so that the hand is off of the forearm. It happens, again, painful. And sometimes people can actually dislocate the carpal bones, which are the little bones in the wrist. And those can sometimes, believe it or not, be very difficult to get back in if you have a carpal bone dislocation as well, just because I have to push it right back into where it came from. But it's like a jigsaw puzzle. Sometimes it's hard to find the exact location where it came from.
Wow.
But yeah, and they can be difficult. But yeah, wrist is on the list as well.
Luckily, mine are strong.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's weird that we haven't come up with a device yet that you could just put the arm or whatever into,
right,
and then see the bones inside in real time.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, well, we do have one device in the ER. They're called finger traps, Chaz. So a finger trap is they trap your fingers. So imagine your hand over your head. So somebody like a wrist dislocation, if it were fractured and dislocated, I can put your fingers in a finger trap where your fingers are in this trap and your arm is hanging over your head to allow gravity to have you self-reduce the fracture dislocation back into place.
Oh, my God. In a dungeon somewhere?
Yeah. That's what it sounds like.
I shall put you in the finger trap.
Medieval torture device, yes.
Nice.
This happened. My sister broke her arm, and they had to put all of her fingers in like those like Chinese finger trap, and stretched it out to keep the bone set while they put the cast on.
Then they get a Rubik's Cube.
Exactly. That's a common thing that happens.
Wow.
She woke up from the drugs and was like, "What the hell's going on?" They're like, "You're not supposed to be awake right now."
Dr. Marquita. Dr. Marquita's son.
You got to give a little more med.
Top 10 joint dislocations that come into the ER. Dr. Ron Clark's doing the list here. Boston John.
How about the knee?
The knee.
Yep, the knee is on the list. So the knee dislocations usually happen from trauma, either car accidents, falls, things like that. And when you dislocate your knee, there's kind of two
Don't
types
pay of that.
dislocations. There's a patella dislocation, which is the kneecap, which is very easy for me to get back in. It looks really nasty when your kneecap is on the side of your leg instead of in the center where it should be.
That's what he said, yes.
It's actually fairly easy for me to get back in. The key is to keep the leg straight so I can slide it back in, because a lot of people want to flex their knee when their joint's on the side, and I have to extend them out so I can slide the kneecap over. Real knee
dislocation. I saw that happen.
Yeah, the kneecap.
I saw that happen on a track meet.
Yeah.
Somebody was doing the hurdles.
Yep. Very clear, common hurdlers. Yep. And my son's actually a track and field kid. And there are injuries that I've been at track meets as well with the same injury. Because, if you clip the hurdle, you can sometimes dislocate the knee. And, again, usually I can get the kneecap back in pretty easily. A knee dislocation, if your tibia and fibula, the lower part of your leg, is separated from your upper leg, that is a big problem, because there's an artery that goes through there called a popliteal artery. And when I reduce the knee back in, I usually need to use sedation to get it back in. Almost always afterwards, we have to do what's called an angiogram, so I make sure that you didn't rip your artery when your knee got dislocated out. Knees can create a lot of problems vascularly, and so when we reduce things back in, we always document what your exam was pre and what your exam was post reduction, so that we make sure that there's no nerve or artery damage there.
Wow. Boston John, thank you.
Yeah, thanks.
So Doc, that's got to be interesting for you, because you go to your kid's sporting event,
right?
You see a kid fall over the hurdle, you're like, yep, all right, I guess I'm on.
No, he's
on duty. It happens all the time. And my son did hockey, track and field, lacrosse, basketball. So I'm put to work a lot.
Your insurance, does your insurance say, hey, we'll cover you in the hospital, but when you're outside of the hospital, dial it down?
Yeah.
What ends up happening is, for all doctors, and it depends on what, like, my insurance policy is just through Hartford Healthcare, but really, I don't want to practice medicine outside of the ER, outside of my hospital system. Having said that, in Connecticut, there's Good Samaritan laws as well. So, like, if there's a car accident, like, I've stopped at car accidents before to assist sporting events, particularly with kids. If they'll ask, is there a doctor in the crowd, things like that.
If someone else says yes first?
He yells, I'll make an appointment!
The problem for my kids' sporting events is most of the parents know that I'm an ER doc, and everybody stares at me when the kid goes down.
They're all too drunk.
The spotlight's already kind of on me from the beginning. But it is a useful skill. A few years ago, there was a injury at a cross-country where somebody had fallen and dislocated their hip, actually. A grandparent who was watching one of the athletes. And so I had to go over and help with that as well. I did not mount that one.
The grandparent.
Good heaven, this is awesome.
I'm going to do this more often.
Oh, my goodness. Who knew I get lucky?
That would not be covered by the malpractice.
Warren in Watertown.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hi. My guess is going to be the toes.
The toes are on the list, and toes get dislocated all the time. People walking into, furniture, other kinds of trauma. I had a soccer player recently who kicked into the bottom surface of somebody's cleat and dislocated their toes. So, yes, toes is on the list. They can be painful too, and they get really purple and bruised up as well. But another one where you just have to grab it and pull it. And a lot of times with toes, and fingers and toes are similar, that the way we put them back in is traction to pull on it, extension, so that I actually dislocate it worse.
Do you mount them?
I don't mount them for the toes.
Okay.
reduction and then relaxation. So a lot of times with fingers and toes, I have to actually dislocate you worse to get it back in, because I got to get by the bone underneath it to put it back into where it needs to go.
Rumor has it that Jesus' name was supposed to be Herbert, but Mary stubbed her toe the night before.
How long did you wait to tell that? The whole time?
Yep.
The doctor. Wow. All right.
That was funny.
Jay in Waterbury.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, thanks.
AJ actually reminded me how, I don't know if you said it, knee, Johnny Utah, Point Break. Did you say knees
yeah.
yet?
The knees on the knee, list. Yeah, we got the knee, but yeah, knees are painful. And they, boy, football players and other people who have, you know, direct trauma can get really bad knee dislocations, which can cause a lot of problems.
All right. Thanks, guys. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Steph in Norwalk.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
Not sure if this falls on their fingers, but Vernon Valley Action Park skiing went off a jump for some stupid reason. I never took my pole straps off, and it caught my thumb and almost ripped my thumb off the top part of my wrist.
Yep. So, thumb, I put in with our fingers, but thumb dislocations can be really bad. You can get something called a gamekeeper's thumb where you rip all your ligaments and tendons in your thumb and can cause a lot of problems with injuries. But, yeah, thumb I put with the finger dislocations, but it's you know. So I'll give you partial credit.
Yeah, that one was painful.
Yeah, I'm sure that's very painful. Yeah, yes. Thumbs are tough, and everybody obviously needs their thumb to oppose to pick things up. So when it's injured, it can cause a lot of physical, disability.
Right. Thank you, Steph.
Can't grip things anymore.
Yikes.
Yep.
Bad. Spencer in Burlington.
Yeah, how you doing? No, hey. I'm not a doctor. I don't know if there's a joint in there or nothing, but I was wondering, what about the penis?
So that kind of is bone. It's not on my list because there's no bone in there. But the people can get penis fractures.
Yeah, I've heard about that.
And that happens. I get about one a year patients coming in, sometimes two a year, from just overdoing it. And you can get we call a penis fracture where you rip part of what we call the corpus cavernosum where the blood vessels are, and you can tear that. It's not a dislocation, so it's not on my list, but it is an injury that comes into the ER.
It's called hockey's stick.
Okay.
Yep.
Thank you. I'm out on that note.
Thank you.
Ow. Get the Peyronie's disease thing going on.
Yeah, as long as you don't have to grab that one and pull it.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Right. We want to grab that one.
Yeah, when you go to pee and you hit the guy next to you.
Yeah.
Hey!
It goes sideways.
Oops.
We'll take one more.
Why are the curtains wet?
Brendan in Wallingford.
Hey, guys. How are you? I wanted the doc to talk about ankle dislocations and reducing them without any anesthesia or analgesia.
Yeah.
When the pulses are compromised.
Absolutely. Why?
You sound like you know something about this.
Yeah, you're a doctor.
Yeah.
I'm an ER nurse.
Aha.
There you go.
Okay.
And that is on the list. I could tell that right away that you're in medicine. Yeah, so ankles on the list. And absolutely, you get there, and sometimes ankles can look really gnarly, too, with the fact that the foot is either laterally or medially displaced to the leg. So it's not even touching the leg a lot of times. It's like bent sideways.
Ooh.
And the first thing I do, Chaz and AJ, is when I evaluate you, give you some pain medication, but I want to feel on the dorsal aspect of the foot for something called the dorsalis pedal pulse. And if I can't feel a pulse, I just crank on your foot.
Dead
like
foot.
I don't even give you warning. I just pull on it to reduce it back in, because a lot of times you can compromise the blood flow to your foot if it's not reduced quickly. So that can be a big problem. Ankle dislocations, usually happen from direct trauma, and they can be really gnarly, but they can also cause a compromising situation. Because, again, when the bone's not where it should be, sometimes you're kinking blood vessels and all kinds of problems, and we need to reduce that quickly with me and the ER nurse that's on the phone to give some medications and to assist with the procedure. So, yeah.
Brandon, thank you for calling. Awesome. Thanks for what you do. Doc, I would be intimidated coming out of school and going into the ER not knowing a fraction of what you know.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Like I don't know if the hospital knows how lucky they are to have you there.
Very lucky.
Well, thanks. I say emergency medicine is like a shallow ocean. I know a little bit about everything.
Nice.
It's just a little bit about everything. So
it'd be great.
I'll take it. I'll take that.
Cool.
Yeah. So the final two that were on the list were joint jaw dislocation,
jawbone,
the TMJ, which I recently had, and popped back in. It was a lady who had a seizure who then dislocated their jaw, mouth wide open, and she dislocated both sides. So I had to put both sides back in. And then the final one I put on here to get our 10th one was a cervical spine dislocation. We call it an atlanto-axial dislocation. That's a really bad injury from head trauma. I had a patient in the past that I've actually talked about in the show that was on a snowmobile that got clipped at nighttime with a chain link fence, like a chain that was across a field at an entrance, and hit his head and then extended his neck, and that's called an atlanto-axial dislocation, and that is a very bad dislocation. Of everything on the list, that would be the worst one.
Was he able to walk after that?
No, quadriplegic.
Oh, I saw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awful. So never good.
Yeah. Usually, you know, 99 out of 100 dislocations get back in, and usually your function comes back to what it was before. Occasionally, we're not able to get you back to the way you were.
The woman with the jaw, I think that when she came in, it's clear what's going on.
Yes.
It's like, what's your name?
Yes.
Ah. And yeah, okay.
I think we all are on the same page here.
I know it's wrong.
We all know it's dislocated. And actually, jaws sometimes in the past would be difficult to get back in, depending on how badly it's dislocated. And with her, I actually took my – you can do it to yourselves, and your listeners can do it. If you touch your cheeks with your thumbs and your cheekbone, the hard bone on both cheeks,
okay,
and you put your thumbs underneath that cheekbone, that's called the zygomatic arch,
uh-huh,
and I just push straight back, and both sides went in almost like closing a drawer.
Wow.
I see what you're saying. She was so uncomfortable and so upset. I said, just give me 1 second to try to get this back in. I'm pretty good at doing this. And
pretty
I put
good.
It back in literally 1 second. And she's like, oh, I feel so much better. So, yeah, it is. That was very satisfying. My only problem with her is then she opened her mouth up to check it, and she dislocated the right side again. So they had to do it again.
Yeah. You got
to
keep your mouth shut for about a week and a half.
Keep your mouth shut. I'm going to tape that shut.
Yeah, keep your mouth shut. Exactly.
Hey, Doc, thanks so much for coming on. You're brilliant.
Yes, you are.
The doc is not only a brilliant emergency room overseer, but he's also an author of an excellent book called Surviving the Emergency Room. Yes. Thank you, Dr. Ron Clark. I had on the schedule here to talk about me getting pulled over the weekend, but I don't want you to leave before we talk about this Megan Fox thing. Because
yes. Or I can talk about it the next time.
No. Megan Fox.
We're determined to finish this.
So you're in a movie,
right.
Johnny and Clyde.
Hmm.
She plays some casino boss or whatever.
Yeah.
You're a gas station guy.
Yeah.
Right.
Johnny and Clyde are like modern day Bonnie,
you know,
and Clyde.
Yeah, sort of, okay. You know, yeah. And I'm set up with squibs to be shot.
Which
at
are the
some
blood
point.
Packs.
Yeah, when right. So when you see somebody shot on camera, the blood comes flying out. There are these little tubes, and people are like on the floor next to them operating these tubes. It's that literally they're like, it's
squeeze
like, and then you squeeze the thing,
right.
And it drives
oh, wow.
The blood, and boom. Yeah. And they
wow.
Have to cut little holds in whatever your wardrobe is so that
pops out.
It can pop out.
Right.
So, and it was really stressful because it was like a half hour, 45 minutes to get the squibs on me. And then they put the thing on me. And then I'm in the scene. And
this is the only scene you're in?
I'm in a couple of scenes, but this is like the main scene. And then they wanted me to die a certain way. He wanted me to like fall back a certain way.
No, but if I watch the movie, you're only in this one.
I'm in this
part
scene.
Of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah,
someone rolls into a gas station.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it Johnny and Clyde who shoot
yeah.
You? Okay, so
it's someone. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And so I'm in the scene, and then you know Megan's got a quick thing, and we run some lines. Usually, run lines before the scene
right.
With the actor,
yeah.
And she's incredibly beautiful, like crazy, like can't take your eyes off.
Like insane crazy.
Yeah,
I would cheat on my wife in a minute.
She's right behind me.
She's here, right? Okay.
Right behind you and listening.
And listening.
You're shaking her head right now.
You won't need fake blood packs now.
She's got a mouthful of biscuit right now.
We'll have
now.
Some real blood coming out.
Oh, God. And so anyway, we start doing the thing. And
yeah, that's got to be weird, though. Like, you see her for over a decade, and then there she is standing right in front of you.
It's the same thing like at the Late Show where you
it's
just
like watching meeting a rock star.
Yeah. Yeah,
like,
well,
oh my God,
yeah.
I've seen you my whole life and now here
yeah,
you are. But you have to be the gas station guy. You can't be like,
yeah.
Hey, wow, I'm on a movie set with
right.
Megan Fox.
Yeah.
Right. My
yeah.
Squib
well,
might go
yeah.
Up. But then
well,
we...
that didn't really happen, that part.
Yeah, you weren't able to control that part.
Like,
yeah.
It is like what I was saying.
The squib went off.
Wait, there was no blood pack down there. Damn it.
Wow, you pressed
that
something?
Was me.
Yes, you did.
That was me.
Hang
sorry.
On. I need to be.
It's the only time it's ever happened, by the way.
See, don't film this.
Usually it stays intact for a while.
It's never happened before.
Turn it off.
The only time it's ever happened.
Yeah, it happens to lots of guys, I hear.
And just like at home, nothing comes out.
Right.
It's just air.
Right.
So.
That's probably where the video is going to end right there.
I'm going to call you Pump.
So,
just dust. Like the Glastonbury Theater.
Right.
Maybe, little plume of dust.
Maybe don't sit in front that night. First two rows.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Yeah, so you,
if anybody looks like Megan Fox, something's going to happen at the show.
She's all scripted up, yep.
So I don't even know where I am with this.
What is she dressed in?
She's like a... like a tank top kind of thing. Yeah. Right. Turn that off. You're making me self-conscious. Turn that off.
No, leave it on.
Yeah. And so
we don't have to post it.
And so we end up running the scene, and then we do the thing.
Yeah.
And so there's little dialogue. Then she kind of supposed to lean over and kind of give me like a kiss, but it's kind of threatening with it. Like, okay.
A threatening kiss.
Right. So I'm behind a counter and like whatever. Not a big makeout thing, but just like a thing, right?
Yeah, okay.
And so then I
how do you not call me and tell me this is happening in your life?
I don't know. Squib kept going off.
I guess what I'm gonna do tomorrow.
My
God, are you kidding me?
And so
wow.
And so I'm behind the counter and I'm just supposed to stand there and blah blah blah. And then the kid's supposed to have it. So I didn't plan it, but I think I was like so into her and attracted that.
Your tongue came out?
No.
He pulled his pants down.
I see his squid packets.
Wow, you got shirtless very fast.
The scene doesn't call for you to be shirtless, huh?
Did you put oil on yourself?
Did you shave your chest? Why did you shave your chest for the scene?
Why are you flexing?
So I'm supposed to stand in my spot. Now this camera's on you, like four or five cameras. There's a wide.
It's got to be something.
A medium, and it's
there's
in
this
a
whole
space.
Crew.
There's a yeah. whole crew. It's in a.
Privacy,
it's not
huh?
a set. Like it's a, and it's the summer. It's
you got
warm.
Blood packs on.
I got
there's
blood
Megan Fox
on.
In a tank top.
And there folks kneeling.
It's like, is there anything else they could do? Let's bring a pizza in to distract you. Is there anything else they could do to a guy? Really?
And I'm in like a sweater thing, like a polar fleece thing. Because it's supposed to be
winter.
Like sort of later in the year, but we're shooting it in the summer, so I'm hot. I got
right.
the things on. I got the thing. She's there. Everyone's there. And look, I've acted before. Every time you act, you're nervous because it's like it's weird. Like I could do 2,000 people as a comic, no problem.
Right.
But
this is different.
Well, because there's so much. Like if you get something wrong, the whole production has to redo it.
Yeah. Yeah,
and if I screw my lines up or I don't die the right
the
way,
whole deal
they
has
have to
go
redo
again.
The squibs.
Everything.
They have to get it, whatever.
New shirt.
So, yeah. And there's a thing, and I'm a nice guy.
Right. You don't want to mess up.
And I don't want to be an inconvenience to people, right?
Right.
And you want to look professional and whatever, right?
Right.
Well, that didn't work. Comes at the kids and then supposed to lean in. I decide I'm going to go around the counter and go up to her. So I'm like right next to her.
Yes.
It just wasn't discussed?
No.
So you're ad-libbing okay. now.
And I move around and I get to get close because I think in my mind, I thought, well, maybe I'll make it a longer kiss.
Well, right. The shot was she was going to lean over and give you a kiss.
Yeah.
And now you're like, well, I'll just get closer.
Yeah.
Right. That's more convenient for her.
I know.
This,
I know.
Is why, you aren't in movies.
I don't want her to bend over for me, you know, so I'm going to do good for you. You're being a good guy. Yeah.
I gotta make it easy for her.
Yeah.
I'll just walk around.
Right. And
right.
I have my
all the cameras are set up for this.
Yes.
Over the counter.
The hell with the whole block.
Yeah, I'll
the
just
scene
walk around.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah.
And my pants run zipped.
Right.
just so I was ready.
Right.
I didn't want to waste time. You know.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
So I go around and I go and you hear cut.
Whoops.
Yeah.
And I, yep. What are you doing? I just hear that.
Nothing.
I go. Oh, I'm sorry. Like
nothing.
I literally kind of got it to the. So they go, just go back to your mark. Don't move from your mark.
Right? So what did you get into the moment so
don't
much you
improvise.
Didn't realize you were on a movie set? And you're like, I'm just going to go around and kiss her.
He kept hearing Dreamweaver.
She's going to lean in to kiss me. I want to let her know. She doesn't have to lean in. I'm right here.
I heard Dreamweaver going on. Oh, Dreamweaver! I just closed my eyes today.
Oh, my God.
He's got all foggy and misty. He just saw like six and seven of her just spinning around. Oh, Dreamweaver! I believe you can get name is
Paul?
Paul.
Cut! Cut! Someone get a poll.
I'm getting like this closer.
I'm getting Megan Fox over here.
Oh.
I go to the store and I bring you pepper biscuits. You don't even offer me a blueberry. You got a thing of blueberries right there.
You know you don't do this on the Late Show.
That's true.
And tell me why you don't do this on the Late Show.
I get fired.
Yeah.
But you know, I say to the guy, "Oh, you got blueberries," and I go in the other room. I say, "Carol, he's got blueberries. We should have brought him."
I'd like to see Paul after he hits the lottery and shows up on the set of the Late Show because it would be this the whole show.
Oh, it'd be hilarious. He's scooping out some blueberries.
Did you wash these?
No.
Pesticides?
Right. No. I had them in my underwears.
Right. Right.
And then I put them over.
I was smuggling a Smurf.
Yeah. So Paul Mercurio in studio. Chaz and AJ in the morning, 99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox. So he's on a movie set doing a movie called Johnny and Claude, which you can see now. It's out.
Right.
He's doing a scene with Megan Fox.
Right.
And the lead Johnny.
It's a whole thing.
Yeah, but it's sort of mainly like between me and him and this thing confrontation.
He's a gas station attendant, and he's got the blood packs on because he's about to be shot in the movie. Yeah.
Right.
Megan Fox comes in. She's going to lean over the counter, give him a kiss.
Yeah. Right.
And he's like, well, I'll just walk around the counter, make it convenient for her.
Exactly.
And he starts walking around. This was not planned in the shot.
Right.
And
improvising.
So he walks around and it's like, cut.
Right.
What are you doing?
Exactly. Back,
that's where we left
go back
off.
To you, Mark, yes.
Oh, and by the way, there's two women on the floor behind the counter who are manning the squib mechanisms. So when I walked,
yeah, they're like, where's this guy going? Right. What's happening?
Walk over him and whatever.
Right.
And it was very sexual. I had women around me. This woman in front of me. It was like, I felt like, ooh.
You were very distracted.
Yeah. So then they're kind of resetting things. And then there's they're spraying her to kind of make her look
like
sweaty.
Glistening, yeah.
Like, wow. And on her, yes, thank you.
The Springer.
And on her, you know, chest.
Right.
And now I'm just.
Packet went off.
Another packet went off.
We're running out of packets.
For God's sake, give him some saltpeter.
Someone go to the warehouse. We need more packets.
We need pads.
So
she's a very beautiful woman. It is very distracting. You're on a set with a bunch of people.
And
this whole deal. And now you screwed up. So now, now they're glistening her.
Listen, that's the word. Thank you.
They did it on purpose.
So basically, I get like distracted and I'm looking and down, and so they roll action, and I'm supposed to be making eye contact with her.
Right.
And the whole time, apparently, I didn't realize it at the time.
You weren't making eye contact.
I was making eye contact with the wrong part of her body.
Gotcha, right.
And
right.
It's like...
It's difficult.
Yeah. And then I hear, cut! And I hear that. And I'm like, what?
You're missing your marks on her face.
So,
what's with this guy?
So did you even make it into the movie?
No, wait. I'm on my sixth take at this point because the first three takes, I flubbed my lines.
Wow.
Then the thing. Then I walked around the corner.
Oh,
now,
man.
I'm looking down.
You know what I'd love to hear? I'd love to hear the phone call to his agent Monday. Hey, man, I love you. I love the guy. I don't know.
What the hell's with this guy?
You should just have him in movies with men.
I would immediately request the tape. Send me the tape. I want to see the tape.
I swear to God, it's like he hit his head on a bedpost.
Wow, can you imagine?
And then they turned like the fan on because it got hot. Like, so the fan
Bon Jovi video?
And their nipples, can I say nipple? They're
just did several
protruding
times, yeah.
Now through the thing.
Right.
And now
it is a lot. It's a lot.
Cue Dreamweaver.
So then,
Dreamweaver.
You're right. We need it back.
I mean, they were so big. Like so we did another take, and I'm looking right at her thing, like the nipples, and her and
they spoke.
My acting training thought, well, there were two more actors in the scene.
Right.
Are the stars of the show.
These are the stars.
These deserve my attention.
And so then I hear cut.
But not to get all pervy and stuff. I do think that eventually we're going to find that there's some like mechanism in the brain
that guys do this. It's not a perverted thing. It's some kind of a natural, weird response.
Well,
from
this
was the original feeding container,
right.
By the
exactly
way.
Exactly right.
Okay, so we look at that. We're like, hey, pizza,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, you would think of lunch. Exactly.
So it's not a pervy thing. It's
no.
Just a, it's an instinct.
Yes.
It's a primal instinct. So not to get pervy. So how many times does this go on?
63. No. it probably seemed that way.
Yeah, it takes longer than the movie.
Right. No, right. But he had the director at one point comes over. He goes to me like this, like a woman would say to a guy. He goes, Paul, eyes up here. He was like that.
Yeah, it's like, come on.
I was like, and so we do it again, and then I'm supposed to lean in.
How is she reacting to this? Does she look uncomfortable, or she's like, this happens all the time?
Like, she's like, whatever, and then there's a little bit of like, she was very totally fine, cool, but like a little, you could see body movement sort of like.
Yeah, like, I thought I'd be on set for an hour today.
Right. You know? Yeah, like a clown.
I had nails I was going to get done.
Yep, creepy not clown now. Yep. From Glastonbury.
I'm sure she's used to it, though, because it's, you know, she's a very beautiful woman.
Yeah. But she's very,
she stops people dead in their tracks. Yeah, that's how she's made a living.
So then it just got.
But usually she's around professionals on a movie set.
Yes,
that's exactly the difference.
Then came Paul.
I brought her pepper biscuits. She loved them. And
stay focused.
So she basically, we do it. And I lean in a little bit, which I'm supposed to, and I lean in the wrong place. And
wow.
Just as sure to kill me, pop! I bopped the squid unintentionally.
Oops.
And now they have to re-squid me. And now at this point,
happens to a lot of guys. I want to murder you if I'm on this scene.
Mess.
If I'm on this set, I want to murder you.
Premature squibbing.
And I'm literally sweating now, like that I'm going to get fired.
Right.
Like, they're going to just.
So
do,
now,
like,
your agent must have a bigger star on this movie project. No?
I don't know if they did, but you know, my agent and
you now.
I actually knew the producer. He knew one of the producers or one of the studio executives who recommended me. Like,
okay, so this is,
it's like
you came in from high level. So
yeah,
they're like, we got to deal with this guy.
No, I had to audition and everything. I got like an actor, but I also knew the whatever. But it was like, I just felt like
yeah.
And then,
wow, can you imagine? You think it's going to be an easy day?
Yep.
Quick shot.
Yep.
Megan, you'll be here for less than an hour.
Call before lunch.
Probably 2-3 takes.
Yep, that's it.
We're going to have this, then we're moving on to 8 other things today.
Right.
And then Paul arrives.
The best part for me is, like, as he's describing these bloopers, if it was just in a comedy instead of a serious movie, it'd be fantastic.
Yeah.
It'd be awesome.
I do want to see this day, Paul's day on the set.
Yeah.
Should be available. That should be in the extra footage.
It was brutal. I mean, she's all glistened up, and then her, you know, nipples start showing up on the set. They were late. They were in the trailer. They came
the
to
whole
the
deal.
They right. held it. And then, by the way, this was not too long after the Alec Baldwin gun incident happened.
Oh.
And I had to point the gun at the guy in the scene, and then he had to point the gun at me. So we had to stand in the parking lot of this thing before the scene, and the whole
crew, and I'm guessing this is like trying to fly after 9/11. Everyone's on heightened.
Here's the gun, right? The prop master comes out. He's got the gun.
So now they're doing everything.
Right?
Like, hot gun to the book and then some.
So then what do I... So he hands me the gun, right? And I had never... Right? But I had to point the gun at him, and he had to point the gun at me.
Right. He's talking about a movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Movie.
And,
right.
And then
right.
Movie
guns.
That whole thing. Yeah. And it's
yeah.
Like,
yeah. Wondering
and then it was happened after the Alec Baldwin thing with the accident with the gun. So they had you show the gun and whatever. So I'm standing in the parking lot of the set.
That freaked you out a little bit, though?
Yeah, it did.
I mean,
like, I'm not a guy.
Someone was just killed on a movie set with a gun, and
right.
Now you're on a movie set with a gun, and the gun's going to be pointed at you.
At me,
you
at
have
my
plans
face.
That day.
At
yeah.
your face.
At my
face.
Right.
Yeah, there's no coming back.
And after screwing up all this time.
Take the gun, and I'm then supposed to point the gun at him.
Right.
And I'm not a gun guy. I accidentally shot a deer with a crossbow. But that's a story for another
accidentally.
Day.
Accidentally. Okay.
Yeah, remember?
Yeah, because you were aiming for the tree.
No,
right.
No.
All right. Go ahead.
I'll stay another focused. Time. We'll
right.
tell you.
Yeah.
But are you, okay. A poor thing. Anyway, so I didn't mean to kill it. And so I just stepped on my wire. So I,
this is why it took so many takes.
So we're in the, so they were super safe. They're like, okay, here's the gun. In front of the whole crew, like, okay, there's nothing in the chamber, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So they said, but just don't point the gun until you're in the scene.
Right.
So he gives me the gun just so I could get the feel of the gun. So I, what do? Like, because you
oh,
get
no.
a gun, yet, I point it.
Oh, no.
When he just told me, don't point the gun! He screams at me. I'm like, oh,
they must have loved having you.
That was the beginning of the thing. And but I pointed it kind of away. Like, but the guy there was somebody like about 25 feet away. So I put the gun down immediately. It was just like nerve wracking. And then I'm in the thing with her, and then whatever.
He lifts the gun, and a plane goes down.
And then I got
a. Were you by that MiG by any chance?
The air show.
We're flying along. All of a sudden, we got hit by a bullet in the engine. It was some guy with blood packets and a screaming director.
Right. Paul was ice fishing when the Titanic came by.
I cause a lot of problems.
What's up with the strike now? Are you involved in that?
Well, I'm in the writers' union and the actors, Screen Actors Guild. So,
no Colbert.
No Colbert since May.
Yeah, no one's
been on the air since the middle of May.
Yeah.
And we're supposed to be our new season starting up.
People think that if you write for a comedy show like that and you're part of the crew, they make a tremendous amount of money. So you're rich and you could sit this out. But not all people on that in that building, in the Ed Sullivan Theater,
I'm on
rich.
Air with your show begging a guy to give me a free tree cutting. How do you think things are going?
Right.
I'm complaining that you wouldn't eat my $4.99 pepper biscuits that I shelled out for. How do you think it's... I need help.
When's gas money for the ride home, by the way?
I need help.
I need help.
Heffel.
I need help.
I need help.
Hey, I need the help.
I can't get this tree. I can't see. Hey, manage. What are you? Hey, tree. So we're supposed to start our new season right after Labor Day.
Oops.
And it's not. Hmm. That's not.
That didn't happen.
Typically, you're taping like bits and stuff now, or what are you doing?
No,
now?
We would. So usually in July and August, we tape 2 weeks each month because they're summer months and big vacation months. So right now, we would actually not be taping. We would be in reruns called our vacation week, the 2 weeks leading into Labor Day.
Yeah.
But do you get paid during that? Is that a paid vacation?
I don't. Other people do. I don't. Because I'm marginal at what I do. Right. And because I'm technically like an independent contractor, because I do a bunch of, like, I perform on the show.
Right.
So,
right.
We talked about this. Yeah. So anyway, normally what we would do is we'd be just shooting shows daily like we shoot them, right? So like the first 2 weeks of August, we'd be shooting shows every day for that night.
Anyway, is this anywhere near the end?
No, I don't think
so.
What?
No. I mean,
not your story.
Oh, but I thought the same thing. It's another break.
Carol, stop laughing, Carol.
I need that sound bite, Phil, for every time Paul's on. I'll just play it. Is this anywhere near the end?
I need help.
I need the help.
I need the help. Emina.
Yeah, the strike's going to go on for a while.
Yeah.
Working at the Colbert show for you, anybody working there, like, you know, one day you're walking down the back hall and there's John Bon Jovi. Then the next day it's Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
And you had a run-in with Tom Hanks, didn't you?
Yeah, and it's like
everybody. It's everybody.
Right. And then I've kind of aped it a couple of times. I got Bryan Cranston on my podcast because I just went up to him and said, would you do my podcast?
Nice. Well, I saw you've lifted a lot of people from that show.
And then
do they get upset with that? Or
They don't. No, now they probably will.
Well, so no one listens to your podcast?
I haven't done it that much. I think the fact that I've gotten some good guests have helped me get other good guests, and my booker gets really good people. So. It's kind of crazy. Like Scarlett Johansson was another one where I just could not keep my, like, and she was backstage and I was backstage and I happened to be near her and she was in a low cut.
Right.
And
I mean, she put the dress on for that effect, I would think.
Exactly.
She wanted to look beautiful.
That's what I was explaining.
And you were admiring her beauty.
And I was explaining that to security.
No, but the Tom Hanks thing, what was that like? Because, this guy's like our Jimmy Stewart.
Right. Yeah.
This guy, he's already a legend, and he's living.
Right.
He hasn't even stopped yet or even slowed down.
Yeah.
Then there he is right there.
Yeah.
What'd you say to him?
I said, the Forrest Gump thing? I didn't buy it.
You should have had a little box of chocolates.
You know
there
what?
You go.
He's super personable to the whole staff. So there's the main dressing room is the entrance is on the
Jazz and AJ weather traffic.
Thank you, Paul. Love you, man.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.